Dale Menk joining us. He is the Democrat-endorsed candidate for 10A, kind enough to join us as Democrat of the Day. Dale, thank you very much for the time.
Oh, you're welcome. Nice to be here.
My pleasure, and a great district, by the way. I really am a big fan of 10A.
Yeah, it's a nice area. We got lots of lakes, lots of woods. It's a great vacation spot for all you people down in the city.
Can I actually, I do have one legit question I want to ask. Does your district actually have more water than land in it?
I don't know. I guess that could be debatable, but I think there's actually more land.
Oh, it is. It's a close toss-up. It's one of the lakiest places in the state, I guess you could say, if that's a term. A great place to go up there and run. Dale, let's start off here. Since you're running up in 10A, why don't you explain to everyone out there who exactly is Dale Menk?
Well, I am a carpenter here in the area. I work for a local building construction company. I've got, six kids with me and my wife. We've got, a blended family, hers, mine, and ours. I've lived in Brainerd for 20 years. So, I'm pretty invested in the area.
What all of a sudden you're a carpenter and, you're working hard. You got your family living in a great part of the state. All of a sudden, something triggered. What caused you to say, I'm going to run for 10A this time around?
So my wife and I went down to St. Paul to talk to our representative a couple years ago, and we actually talked to him a couple of times. And, when a person goes to talk to their representative, they don't want to feel dismissed, and we kind of did. I feel that a representative is there to, listen to the concerns of the people they're representing, and we just didn't feel that our representative was addressing our concerns. So I made the leap and decided to run.
Was it just because, this actually is something that is very common right now, that if you have a Republican representing you, they don't care about anyone who's Democrat. So don't even come knocking on the door. Even if you're, you've got a family member who's in the military or something like that, and you've got an urgent issue, they don't want to hear from you because you didn't vote for them. And the reality is they still don't even have time for a lot of the Republican voters who voted for them, because they generally are more focused on, the people that, fill the coffers and get them elected. And I think your story is a very similar one. I've actually heard that from multiple other Democrats who are running, that especially in outstate Minnesota, where they went out there and they're basically stiff-armed by their representative.
Right. Yep. It's just, like I said, a representative should represent everybody in their district. And, especially over the last few years here, everybody's playing party politics, especially those on the Republican side. When you hear about a big bill that needs to go through and they introduce it 3 days before the session ends, it's ridiculous. People are getting tired of the party politics, and I'd like to get in there and work for the people rather than the party.
Well, and exactly, you're underselling it. It wasn't 3 days; it's 3 hours, and it's buried in 1,000 pages. I mean, that's not representation. That's basically, here's our wish list. We want this pushed through, and we don't want anyone seeing what's inside of it. And that's not how the actually rules in place. You're not supposed to be able to do that stuff, but we don't hold the Republican politicians responsible, saying no, it has to be individual bills.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I know. There's a constitutional amendment about. It's a single subject bill, and that hasn't been happening. And a lot of people in greater Minnesota are just tired of the games.
No, absolutely. I think absolutely. And I think this is just, like I said, it's a story that you heard. Again, you're looking to represent, everyone, not just people that vote for you, everyone. And I think that's what is making the DFL brand appealing again, is that it's not about just the people that vote for you. It's about everyone and making the state better for everyone. Dale Menk joining us right now. He's the DFL candidate for 10A. Dale, if we get you down to St. Paul, what would you like to champion for 10A?
So, one of my big deals is, I have 6 kids who have either graduated from or are still attending public schools. So I want to make sure that our schools are properly funded, that we are getting good teachers in there, and we're keeping the good teachers. There's been an exodus recently. Well, maybe not even recently, but over quite some time, you know, the good teachers are leaving because there's no incentive for them to stay. So I'd like to fix that. I'd like to see Minnesota move towards a more Medicare for all type of health system. You know, I'm one of many that have no health insurance because it's unaffordable and I make too much money to get, you know, medical assistance. Even before the Affordable Care Act, you know, a lot of the people on the right try to say that the Affordable Care Act hurt more people than it helped. Well, yeah, it did hurt some people, but it helped a lot of people.
Yes, it did.
And you know, it's, but even before the Affordable Care Act, my health insurance was tied to a job. So I'm a carpenter. So in 2008, when the housing bubble burst, I got laid off and I lost my health insurance. You know, and it shouldn't be that way. People shouldn't have to worry about their health when, you know, they lose their job or say the company goes under or they get laid off. You know, people should be able to access health insurance or health coverage.
Well, and the people that were bashing on the ACA, one of the things that people want to forget is the reason why their insurance went up is because the insurance they did have before the ACA was absolute garbage. And the federal government said, no, you can no longer offer this junk insurance. You have to have real coverage that covers these people, that actually gives them some benefit to the coverage. And so when that went into place, that raised the prices because the company that they had before didn't have the, you know, if God forbid they had gotten hurt, they would have been bankrupt or dead. Those were the two options. And that seems to be where the Republicans are trying to drive us back to. Death or bankruptcy is your only two options. If God forbid you have a serious medical problem.
Right. Yep. Definitely.
I want to get back to the teachers. You brought that up. And I think that that's, you know, when you talk about teachers leaving districts, there's a lot of teachers. First of all, I love teachers. I think it's an amazingly tough job to do. There's a lot of teachers that listen to the show, which is really nice. I enjoy that because I have complete respect for them. But when I've talked to outstate teachers, not necessarily from 10A, but some other districts, one of the things that they say is one of the reasons they've left these districts and they've moved in more towards the suburbs of the Twin Cities or up into Duluth or Rochester is they say is that the mentality in these communities is that I'm a villain. Because the Republicans have turned the teachers and the teachers union specifically into this great uber villain that they rail against constantly. And the fact is that they do a very tough job and they're out there working very hard to try to make these schools good. And then the response they get from the community is you're a horrible human being that wants to get paid a regular paycheck for doing this. I think that one of the things you kind of stumbled on there is just telling these teachers, we want you to stay. We appreciate you. You're good for the community. I think that's a huge step in the right direction to retention of teachers in these rural districts.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like you say, even around here, you know, teachers kind of get the short end of the stick. You know, they got to fight to keep decent wages. They got to fight for their health insurance, their benefits. You know, when they do stand up and fight for it, they get, like you said, vilified. You know, I'd like to work towards, you know, making sure that our teachers are able to earn a living wage and, you know, not have to buy supplies for their school, for their classrooms out of their own paychecks, you know. And, you know, there's a lot of that goes on, so. You know, that's part of the funding too, is making sure our schools are properly supplied, and you know, then you know, it'll help everybody out in the long run.
You're in a district. 10A is a great tourism district. Gosh, you got a ton of tourism up there. You talk about that because you got such a jewel. I mean, you really do. It's such a great district. I mean, and for everyone out there, go take a look at 10A. That is, like I said, there's a legitimate question whether there's more water in that district than land. Talk about that because I mean, I think you know. We can talk about the encouraging of the business, the growth, the infrastructure improvements. There's a lot of things there that you know that helps the community. Having the people come up there and spend their hard-earned money in your community, that's a great thing.
Yeah, it is, and it's actually you know quite a bit of our economy is the service industry up here, and so you know I also want to make sure that our resources up here are taken care of, our water and our forests and everything like that. So that's actually another thing I'd like to do is try to move Minnesota more into a environmentally sustainable future, you know, and get away from fossil fuels, start encouraging renewable energy companies to come into the state. You know, when you know, we don't get much of it here, but the Line 3, the Enbridge Line 3 pipeline, you know, that kind of affects the northern part of my district. You know, like I said, we don't get a whole lot of it here, but, you know, they talk about all the jobs that's going to create, but they're temporary jobs. Whereas if you bring in renewable energy sources, you're going to have, you know, you're going to have manufacturing, you're going to have installation and maintenance. You know, those are permanent jobs. And I don't know why that doesn't get talked about very much up here, but, you know, that's the reality is all the jobs that the Republicans are saying that they're going to bring in by relaxing regulations on fossil fuel companies and mining companies, they're temporary. Whereas if we move towards a more renewable future, we're going to bring permanent jobs into the area.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's, you know, that's another thing I'm going to fight for is to get more renewable energy into our state.
Well, and just think about one of your larger lakes in your district. And yeah, you're right. The pipeline might not be going nearby, but if there's a major leak and it gets into a tributary and all of a sudden it's into one of your major lakes, can all those resorts on that lake shut down for a year until they get that cleaned up? Can they go for an entire summer without actually bringing in any customers? Can the businesses that are the ancillary businesses, the restaurants, the other hotels, the golf courses, can they survive not having tourists coming in and spending money? This is, you know, there's a short-sighted nature of this where they talk about 30 jobs. Boy, aren't these 30 temporary jobs going to be great? But the consequences of some of this fossil fuel stuff is, you know, the 10,000, 20,000 jobs in a region which are geared towards the tourism industry, the service industry, which will be lost if all of a sudden you have to shut down because the lake that's supposed to be pristine is wonderful is now an oil slick.
Right. Yep. And, you know, one of the watersheds that would be affected if there was a leak on the proposed route of Line 3 is the Whitefish Chain, which I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's a pretty,
oh yeah,
it's a pretty big tourist area. And, you know, if that gets contaminated, like you say, all those industries that are dependent on that area, you know, that watershed are, you know, they're out of luck.
Yep.
You know, like you say, you know, I mean, the businesses up here live for the tourist season because, you know, that's when they make their money. Well, you know, tourists stop coming up because the lake is no longer nice. A lot of people are going to be in a bad way.
There's too much to lose on this. Absolutely. And by the way, that Whitefish Chain just, that's some of the best fishing in the state. Absolutely. You see, this is what you're listening to, Dale Menk. Once again, this is 10A. When you're listening to Dale here, one of the things I think that is very important is this is a district we need for the Democrats to win because we're preserving more than just, you know, one seat in the Minnesota House. We're trying to preserve a large swath of our pristine lakes and is also just trying to give, you know, Medicare options for people, you know, health care for the district. We have a person that wants to care about more than a handful of people that voted for him. And that's what we are, the DFL. That's what we are. We're trying to help out everyone. And some people don't want to hear it, but the reality is you know, this state would be in a lot better position if the DFL was to win. And if we can get Dale down to St. Paul, that would be a great idea. Dale Menk, the number 4, MN10A.com. Once again, Dale Menk, the number 4, MN, the number 10A.com. I'll link to that a little bit later on. Dale, I'm sure you've got some volunteer opportunities and some door knocking that's going to be coming up here that you'd sure love to have some volunteers come help you with, correct?
Absolutely. We're going to be hitting the streets here pretty hard in the next few months. I also have a Facebook page. It's Dale Menk for MN House 10A. That's on Facebook. We'll be posting door knocking opportunities and stuff on there. Also, anybody who's willing to make phone calls or, you know, even put out a yard sign. Anybody who's interested, go to my website. You can leave me a message and I will get it and I will get back to you, or somebody else involved with the campaign will get back to you.
And donations. And I was going to make sure we mentioned donations. Donations, donations, donations. You can't make it up there, but you want to help out, Dale. A donation would help out too, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And I don't know how many people know this, but Minnesota does have the political contribution refund program. So you can give up to $50 per individual or $100 per married couple, and the state will give you that money back. You send me the donation, I'll send you a receipt and a request form, and you can get that money back. So you can donate to me for free.
Okay, here's your weekend trip. You go up there. Go up on a Friday night, do some door knocking on the weekend, get some fishing in, some lake time, maybe a little more door knocking on Sunday before you head on down. That's actually a great way to help the Blue Wave help turn the Minnesota House Democrat, helping out Dale Menken 10A. Dale, an absolute pleasure. We'll spotlight this interview, and all my best. I hope to see you in St. Paul, my friend.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.